still my heart.
And it is another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes. And Jason, you know, it's interesting that every single week we find ourselves between Sundays.
That is when Wednesday traditionally falls.
It's weird that it never changes.
Yeah.
Is that not weird to you? That it's always been that way.
I think not as shocking as you might think. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really, really, really well.
That's good. It is a three reallys.
Yeah, when you go triple really, it's been a pretty good week.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like fall has really set in.
Yes,
come on. You have a full sweater,
yep.
Flannel,
yep.
A tie
yep.
on. I mean, the fall has set in.
Yep.
It's very good. I've noticed your beard is getting a little length back to it.
Yeah,
a
I don't
tad
know if
bit.
I'm not sure know, if it's going to stay. It's probably as long as it's going to get right now.
Yeah. We have officially purchased pumpkins at the Hayes home.
We have those too.
Have you all begun to carve your pumpkins?
We have not.
Yeah. Is there, a certain timeline that you all like work on? Because our boys are eager to carve these pumpkins. But we're trying to tell them, like, we really need to hold out because you don't want to prematurely carve and then have just this, like, rotting, you know,
mess
that is on your front stoop.
That's good. You have a stoop. You live in New York now.
Yeah,
on the front
on your front stairway.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, when people come to trick or treat.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have trick or treaters typically on our road. There's no sidewalk. We turn our lights off.
You're those people.
No, I'm kidding. But we don't have a sidewalk. So it would not be a smart thing to go down our road and trick or treat.
Right.
Just not really made for that.
So what do you all do?
We usually go to a trunk or treating setting. Our kids have at their school, they have a trunk or treat. So
nice.
We usually do that.
Have costumes been selected?
Summer is going to be, I don't know the name, kid on Descendants from Disney, the movie Descendants 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
One of the girls on there, we've already got the costume for summer. Gavin
So you guys endorse Disney?
We do endorse
I'm
Disney.
I'm kidding.
Especially Raven. Anything Raven does, I'm on board with.
Love her.
I think she's hilarious. But, the staff at work, they think I'm ridiculous
crazy.
When I say that, but I could sit and watch
Raven
anything Raven does.
Man.
She's just hilarious. It's really good. And so, Gavin, we haven't completely decided on what he's going to, or he hasn't, not that I'm involved in that. I'll just tell him no.
I didn't know if there's a family voting process.
And then, Evelyn, it changes every day what she's going
to
be. She told me the other day she's going to be Superwoman, which would be very easy because Summer was Superwoman last year.
Ooh.
We already have the costume.
Oh, I like that.
And then Charlie is, you know, 1 year old.
Yeah.
She'll dress up whatever we put her in.
Do you all actually purchase new costumes or do you like just basically keep kind of like a chest of
a chest of costumes mainly for Gavin.
Right.
Gavin is there's been some people that we've been friends with that are like their sons grow out of theirs and so we got a bunch of like boy costumes.
That's just cool. Right.
And then for summer, I did purchase from Amazon the costume for Descendants because
locally made Amazon.
Right.
Yeah.
So she was able to wear it to school during a dress up thing.
Cool.
And so it just kind of takes care of it.
Yeah, we had a season there for a good while where our boys enjoyed costumes in general.
Sure.
You know, like so they wanted to dress up and they wanted to be a Star Wars character.
A lawyer.
A
preacher.
Doctor.
Yeah,
it was interesting. I never saw any of
what
my
an imagination they
could
had.
I never find any of my outfits in their drawer. But so that was always a little easier, but now they've kind of aged out of that. So indeed, we're actually having to like put together costumes. And in years past, we've actually tried to do like full family stuff. We're one of those. But then we kind of shifted where at least the boys were kind of playing off each other. So a couple of years ago, they were like Kevin McAllister, Marv and Harry.
I remember that one.
You know, we did a full family Star Wars theme a few years ago, but we've kind of aged out of that as well. Shockingly enough, our 13-year-old is not interested in walking so much around with me in a similar kind of complimentary costume.
That's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird he's not into that. Halloween is what are your thoughts? First off, do you say Halloween or Halloween?
Well, it's funny you say that. This morning, one of my younger boys actually asked, he said, so what is Halloween? As if they were two different
things.
That's
how I say it.
Yeah. And I said, well, it is an inappropriate and incorrect pronunciation of Halloween.
Yeah, I've been told.
I just kind of dismissed it. I just acted as
that's how I say it. And that's Halloween. How I always say it.
I think my hunch is that's actually more accurate. Always said Halloween.
And then I moved to Knoxville and I was talking about it and they were like, what? Why do you say Halloween? I don't know. This is how we talk in Cornersville, apparently. But yeah, it's always interesting. It's never been my thing.
Right.
I've never been super interested in
dressing
up.
Saw someone post on Instagram that it was their favorite holiday. And I wanted to reply, you are a Christ follower, right?
My brother dated a girl back in high school and her favorite was Halloween. And I told him, it's probably a red flag.
This could be a red flag.
And it ended, thankfully, that relationship. But I thought that's probably a red flag. If out of all the holidays, my favorite is the darkness of.
Can you give me a top five real quick?
Holidays?
Of holidays?
Christmas would be 1, 2, and 3 for me.
Nice.
And then Easter.
Of course.
And my birthday. No, the 4th of July.
Oh, I like.
The 4th of July.
I like a birthday in there. Yeah. Man, that's a good list.
Yeah, Christmas to me is like, yeah, it could be probably the top five.
Yeah.
I love the Christmas season, everything about
it. I'm going Christmas. I'm going Easter.
Okay.
I'm going 4th of July.
Yep, come on.
Man, that is silence
President's
that is set
Day.
Into me. I think I might go.
Memorial Day, that's a good one.
I think I actually might go Labor Day.
Okay.
And then Memorial Day.
Okay. Those
feel
are
like
good.
I'm missing. No, no. Yeah, but I'm a pastor, Halloween could not make my list.
Yeah, probably not.
It's four. You know, it's four.
Yeah.
It's actually four.
Yeah, the candy's great.
The candy is fantastic.
And I've never felt like if we step into Halloween, I never felt like I was taking my kids down a bad path by letting them trick-or-treat or anything like that.
Every time I take a Snickers from one of my boys, I say, Happy Reformation Day.
Come on.
And then I feel better about
it. Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, somebody the other day were like, parents out there stealing candy. I'm like, well, as long as they're living in my house, it's not their candy.
No, and I'm not stealing anything. I'm just taking my appropriate share of it.
Yeah, and to be honest, if I wanted to take all of it, I would take all of it.
Yeah, man.
I mean, it is my house. If you bring it into my house.
If I were to bring my candy into your house.
That's different because it's
if like
you.
I was coming over just for an afternoon.
I would just
to bring a ball of candy.
Yeah, that would be.
Would it shift into your ownership?
Yeah, it would.
Golly. Yeah, it would.
That's
noted.
The rules
don't
of the,
bring candy to
we
the
are, We are not a republic or a democracy
I like that.
At the Woodhouse.
I like that.
It's just the truth of the matter.
So
before we get into our topic.
Yes.
I know we're about to get into our topic.
Oh, dear.
You the other day posted a video. A lot of Insta story videos.
Cinematic magic.
Yeah, it was
I
a lot.
Say.
Even to the point you had to get Carrie out there to record some of it because your hands were full.
Yes.
But ultimately, long story short, you found a dead squirrel inside your garage.
I began to smell something. I became concerned about what the smell was derived from.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I began the pursuit on a Friday afternoon. Or Friday morning, I should say, and I decided that I would bring the audience along with me.
And you found a dead squirrel.
I found a dead squirrel in a box of starter logs.
And I'll tell you this. Watching the video, I watched all of them.
Would you give it like on a 0 to 10 as far as entertainment value?
It was good. I would probably say, a solid 8 for
okay,
sure,
it's
entertained.
Good. It's good.
But the only thing I could focus on
was
your shoes that you were wearing.
Yes.
And
which at one point stepped into a mouse trap, like not a trap,
the
one of those
one.
Like a sticky pad type deal, and that was not easy to
so
get off.
So please tell the audience what the shoes were.
It's like a black taller shoe.
Black taller shoe. One would think maybe they're boots
that
I would argue,
have referenced to. As,
what are they?
I referenced to them as man Uggs because. They're Uggs.
They're Uggs. They're Uggs. And so there are some listeners going, well, I'm not familiar. Is that like a new Red Wing brand? It's not.
Yes.
It's not. I would encourage you to Google man Uggs.
Yeah.
Tom Brady has been known to advertise for them and wear man Uggs, but Tom Brady's
Yeah, you know, he's a whole different ballgame.
He can wear what he wants
right,
to wear.
Right.
It's just like Cam Newton, okay? He wears weird things, but it's Cam Newton.
Yeah, sure.
You're Jason Hayes, right. And you have a pair of Man Uggs.
Yes, yeah, so, and they are
legitimately, I thought I was fashion forward, Jason.
They are legitimately Uggs that are for men. I will tell you that my wife and I do not have that much variance in our shoe size.
Okay. Yeah, that's...
Whatever comments that are necessitated, you can just keep those privately, you know. However, I, at one point, cause I'm kind of cold natured, not cold hearted, cold natured.
Sure.
And so during the winter, like I'm the guy that wears, you know, hoodie, throws a blanket on.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sleeping under multiple covers, the whole deal. And so a few years ago, I somehow began using one of Carrie's larger pairs of Uggs, just around the house, like a house shoe, truly. Wow. And I was like, man, this is nice. Like I needed to run out, take the trash can to the road, something like that. And so I would just put them on.
Yeah.
And then I became a little bit more regular in doing that. And somewhere along the way, actually Carrie's mother, as a gift, purchased me this really cool black pair of, they're not like, you know, like some of the other ones are like suede and stuff. These are really cool, and they're just super comfortable. I don't really, unless, I mean, if it was like, hey, I am going through the drive-thru in the truck, I don't wear them out beyond the house, but I do wear them inside and outside.
You wear them the same way I wear my Crocs.
Yeah,
okay,
I would say
so
that's
I don't wear my Crocs anywhere.
Right.
But as soon as I get home and change, my Crocs are on.
Right.
If I'm walking outside, my Crocs are on.
Right.
If I'm going, you know, all of those.
It's like my winter
mailbox.
Croc.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm, and I will say a lot of people I work with, went at me pretty hard about wearing my Crocs.
Yeah.
They're comfortable. I love
them. Do you
them.
Feel like maybe on a Wednesday afternoon that I could potentially maybe come in here with them on?
I think that I would welcome that.
It's going to take a week or two for me to get the mousetrap glue off the bottom of one of them.
Yeah, because that's some pretty heavy-duty glue.
Yeah, it's pretty sticky.
Yeah.
They're just currently sitting
in the garage.
It's
sticky enough to hold a mouse there until they die.
Yeah, they're currently just sitting in the garage. So it's going to require some work. So don't get too excited about it, but they're coming.
Will you wear them on a Sunday morning?
I will. I do. Okay, so I will. A lot of our musicians and worship leaders are aware that I wear a unique compilation of clothes early Sunday morning.
Okay.
So I arrive early Sunday mornings, and especially in the winter, it is like a huge coat, sweatshirt, hoodie, toboggan, sweatpants, and the Man Uggs that get worn around the church building while I'm finishing studying. And sometimes I'll keep that outfit on for pre-meetings, and
what
then I'll go change.
What would it take for you to wear all of that while you preach?
1 week of driving the van.
We can talk about that for sure.
We'll talk about
we'll
it
talk
when we
about
come
it.
Back.
So the conversation, I mean, I would put the first segment, Jason, in if we had a best of album that we were putting out.
Which I'm sure I'm sure there's a number of different YouTube channels and things of the sort that are already 100%. Compiling these things.
I would say the first segment would go in there.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. There's no question.
We talked about holidays. About this actually might, today being October.
What is it?
23rd, this might be a holiday.
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah,
probably
in light
be.
Of the segment.
We might even get a key to the city with that first segment.
We might get kicked out of the city.
That's true.
That first segment.
What are they doing?
So today we do want to talk about more things than my Uggs and Halloween.
Yeah.
We want to talk about unity and the absence of unity, as well as the need for unity. It's been a couple weeks that certainly there's all kinds of news. I mean, we could look across the landscape and see 1,000 different things we could talk about. But candidly, we also have talked about a lot of those things.
Yeah.
And we could get into Trump issues, and we could get into immigration issues, and we could get into, you know, all that other stuff. But the last couple of weeks, it stood out to me about just – we all know how there is division in our country, but it has gotten to the point that it's not just we are polarized, but it is truly almost it is almost impossible for people seemingly to just even interact. I mean, somehow we've shaped a society that where you can actually not even be warranted or approved to actually interact with someone that you disagree with on anything.
Yeah, it's like if you say hello,
you've accepted
everything they believe.
Which again, I get it that there is this, you know, that there's political camps, and I understand there's different viewpoints. But it just has seemed notable to me that in the last few weeks, we've just seen more and more examples of where really just flat out crossing paths with someone, yeah, almost. Like being in the same location as someone that you disagree with has somehow become wrong. And candidly, I think we see a lot more of that from the left than we do from, yeah, the right. But what a terrible tragedy or travesty that is. There's been a couple examples that stand, mm-hmm, out to me. One is the Ellen and George W. Bush, yes, deal. Did you see any of that?
I did, yeah. And it's, they were at a ball game together,
right.
Dallas Cowboys, I think.
Yep.
Sitting in the box, you know, super rough way to watch a ball,
yeah,
game.
Yeah, yeah. And that stadium is spectacular.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Yeah. And so they're sitting beside each other, and of course, a video was posted,
right,
and people went hard after Ellen.
Yeah,
notice they didn't go hard after George W. for, right, talking to Ellen. They went hard after Ellen. They were calling W. a war criminal and all these things. How could she normalize him and all these things?
Because the video showed them to be like having a fine moment.
I bet they weren't
together.
Talking about politics.
Yeah, yeah. Like they, you know, I mean, George W. seemed more than content. Ellen seemed more, yeah, than content. They were shown a couple different times kind of laughing and giggling about things. And again, I mean, we have no idea about what they're, yeah, talking about, but she flat out got blown up,
yeah,
by people said, I can't believe you would associate yourself. In other words, and by associate means you wouldn't allow someone,
yeah,
because do you think that either one of them said, hey, we're going to show up because the reason that they were both there, you know, George W. Bush, obviously from Texas, but it's,
yeah,
connected to
some charity,
a number of different charities. And this one charity was being showcased in somehow by that particular game. Ellen is also connected to that charity. I think I could be wrong, but I think it had something to do with animals. That would make sense for both of them.
Sure.
And so do you think that they both went and said, hey, please set me next to so-and-so? They,
right,
just showed up.
Yeah.
You know, they showed up, they held their responsibility, which is admirable, and they had a fine time,
yeah,
and people erupted over it.
And to her credit, she could have went one way and just said, I'm so sorry.
Right.
But to her credit, she got on her show and she said, yeah, like we should be able to talk to people we disagree with. I don't agree with,
correct,
everything the president says, but I should be able to talk to George W.
Right.
And
George W. responded something,
yeah,
to the degree in a very similar,
it's,
way.
It's the same thing we tell our kids.
Right.
Like, you should be able to talk and look at other people, and even if you disagree with them, you should be cordial and have fun with them. You can have fun with people that disagree with you. It's when I was in Washington speaking,
I love that. I love how you start. That's just,
yeah,
another day.
Yeah.
When I was in Washington,
yeah, and so I was at
speaking,
there was a rally at the Supreme Court because a bill concerning pregnancy centers was in front of the Supreme Court. And so I was part of the pro-life side, and I spoke on behalf of that. Well, I mean, right beside us was abortion folks,
right,
yelling and screaming. And even while I was talking, my mom listened to the video afterwards and was like, what was she saying about you? And
because, right,
there was a woman on the microphone saying nasty things,
right,
about me because I'm a male talking about pro-life issues.
Right.
Well, that particular day it was April, so it shouldn't have been cold, but it was cold. It was sleeting. It was raining. I wasn't prepared for that at all. And so my teeth were chattering after I spoke, and I hung out for a while. And I mean, I was visibly cold. There was multiple people that walked up,
right,
and were like, do you need a jacket? Do you need to go? Like, what are you doing? Why weren't you prepared for this? But one lady walked
which
up.
Which was code for, what kind of fool,
yeah,
are you?
Exactly.
You're in D.C. Why are you not dressed
But style properly? Mattered, and I,
yeah,
I look good.
Sure.
And so,
you know what would have been ideal for a day like that? Man-ugs.
Man-ugs.
Continue.
So this lady walks up to me, clearly on the abortion side of things. She was attending their rally, not the pro-life rally. And she looked at me and said, honey, are you okay? Do you need a jacket or something? And I thought, of course, I dismissed her because she's an abortion proponent, and I said, I don't want you to talk to me.
Stop it.
No, I didn't say that. I thought immediately, look at this. We are drastically opposed in opposition of each other
right.
when it comes to politics. But she looked at me and saw someone that, that was in need.
Right.
And I looked at her and said, thank you. I'm okay. I really appreciate you caring.
I can't cover up this great looking sweater.
Yeah, exactly. And so, but the thought was her, in her mind, it wasn't, well, which side is he on? It's there's somebody here that, that appears to be cold.
Right.
What can I do?
Right.
And that's where we should be. We can be in disagreement.
Right.
But why do we have to take it to a place where we have to be hateful on top
right.
of that?
Well, so that, the Ellen piece, the George W. piece was one. I saw an article this week and I sent it to you, and this is put out by Fox News, reported by several different outlets. But this was just 2 days ago. So San Francisco puts 22 states on blacklist for restrictive abortion laws. So what does that mean? You know, like I enjoyed the show, The Blacklist.
It's right.
coming
it's
back,
show.
I think,
yeah,
at some show. Point this year. And yet, what does that mean, the blacklist in light of this? It says this. City employees in San Francisco are now forbidden to take work trips to do or work trips or do business with companies in 22 states that have restrictive abortion laws. Mayor London Breed and Supervisor Valley Brown announced the measure last week. And this is quote, every day in this country, women's reproductive rights are threatened and we have to fight back. Just as we restricted spending with states that have laws that discriminate against LGBTQ people, we are standing up against states that put women's health at risk and that are actively working to limit reproductive freedoms. So it then continues. She adds, by limiting travel and contracting with certain states, we are sending a clear message to states that the disregard to the right to disregard the right to abortion. So it includes states like Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Mississippi, Nebraska, Nevada, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, South Dakota, Texas, West Virginia, and Wisconsin. Nine other states were already on the city's list because of their LGBTQ laws and policies. So what they are saying is we simply don't want you or your businesses to travel, do business, or interact.
We don't even want any contact with you.
With yeah. people or people that are even in a state.
Right.
That has a opinion that is different than yours.
Yeah, it's a weird.
That
a weird
is concerning
place to be.
To me.
Yeah.
Don't you think it's concerning?
Well, it's the same thing when Georgia passed their law on abortion. You had a bunch
yeah,
of
yeah,
movie folks say we're going to boycott Georgia. The reality is they haven't. They've actually made
right.
more movies there because of tax purposes. But we get
yeah,
to
the,
a place.
The dollar speaks.
We get to a place where we celebrate and elevate the desire to. Demonize someone else simply because they disagree with us, and that's a dangerous place to be.
There was one example of this that we're going to talk about when we come back from the break that even happened in the World Series. We'll talk about it.
Venture Highway in the sunshine.
So as we continue the conversation, you said World Series. You meant to say
I actually meant to say the
pennant race.
The ALCS.
Yeah, the ALCS. And so we are at a place now where, and that's the part that bugs me, and we talked about this last week too. I can't even watch sports now.
Right.
Without something taking me to politics or something making me angry. I mean, and speaking of, the game Saturday night.
Yes.
I was super angry all the way through the UT-Alabama game
right.
Saturday night because
right.
of – officials. And I'll be honest, Jason, if we can have a transparent
please
moment.
Please do. Please do. It's just you and me.
If I had an opportunity to sit down with those referees, I don't know if I could.
You'd have a hard
time
doing
that. And be a nice
that.
Person. I don't know if I could.
I understand that.
It was really bad.
I understand that. So as we continue to kind of talk about, you know, our ability, because we've talked about civility
sure.
and things of that sort in the past, and we're going to try to give some application here towards the end of the show, you know, but when we consider the idea that has we gotten to the point that we literally cannot even be in the presence of other people who we might disagree with. And sometimes it's on even really petty things. Now, I don't want to overthink this. Okay. So I think there's probably the large majority of this is really just exclusively birthed in team pride
sure.
and things of that sort. And there are clearly thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that would not act this way. But there were, and anytime you have a big rivalry series, you see examples of, you know, fans, opposing fans kind of getting into it and things of that sort. And in fact, I saw one particular incident, and they were talking about Astros fans who had really kind of stirred the pot, and the Yankees fans were responding as you would expect that they would, and, you know, throwing stuff and booing and stuff. But they also gave one example of just like just a family of Astros fans, like two or three families, and they just wanted to go watch their team. And they weren't being malicious, is what it said or how it was reported. They were just there. And basically the folks in the Bronx were just like, you don't belong here.
Right. Go
and
home.
So they literally, like, it got to the point they were like throwing beer and stuff at these people.
Just because they wanted to watch the game.
Just being there, you know, and again, I get it. Let's not overthink, you know, baseball and all this other stuff. But again, I think maybe it's a tiny bit of a hint of, a little bit of our society that's like, I can't even be in your presence. Yeah. You don't deserve to be in my presence because of your stupid opinion about
stupid
baseball.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, what?
It's a weird thing because there are folks out there that would say that.
No,
I don't even want you in my presence. Like, if you were to walk in this room, I'm going to have to leave the room or have you escorted
out. I will. Yeah. Or even, I mean, we've good grief. We've heard this. You know, when Ben Shapiro, if you know about, tell our audience who Ben Shapiro is.
Yeah, Ben Shapiro is for millennials, he is the conservative voice.
Yeah.
When it comes to politics, he's a devout, Jewish person. And all he does is goes around and speak around the country on college campuses. And every time he does, he now has to have pretty much the entire police force with him.
But one of the things that will, he is not without opinion.
Oh no.
But I would also say that I think he's fairly tactful.
Absolutely.
For the most part.
Absolutely.
I think he has high character.
Yep.
You know, again, there's going to be plenty of people that have differing opinions with him, but you often will see reports about, you know, like college students needing to be, to receive counseling because of the, because he came on the campus.
Yeah.
Like they felt threatened. They felt, you're like, the guy is just.
You should not feel threatened.
He's not. He like has kids and is like a. They say he's a super kind guy.
Yes.
He just has differing opinions than some. And I mean, it is truly like I have been harmed by even being in the same campus. I mean, like
not even in the same
room.
They didn't even see him.
Yeah, not sitting down in the same
there.
Room. To, like he is within. Yeah. You know, the city limits, and I have been, I've been harmed by this. I mean, that is problematic.
Yeah, very much. And it says a lot about us and
I mean, I feel that way with you sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. But that's why we record this show in separate rooms.
Right.
That's why you're on one side and I'm on the other side of the building.
If you could let someone know the air's a little cool over here.
That'd be awesome. You know, and so that's where we don't record it in separate rooms.
We are very close to each other.
We're in the same chair. Actually.
Right, exactly. It's weird. Our knees
same microphone, same chair. And so as we have these conversations, we do have a tendency to get to a place where, we don't see people as people. We've had this conversation. We see them as obstacles or we see them as an ideal. And so what we do is we look at people and we say, they're this. They're a Yankees fan, or they're an Astros fan, or they're a Republican, or they're a Democrat, or they're a liberal, or they're a conservative, or they're a Christian, or they're a non-Christian. And when we start seeing people as these labels, then we justify in our own mind, well, that's why I'm not going to be around them. I can't possibly be around them.
And so again, you know, as we do every week, conveniently right here on Wednesday between Sundays, you know, we really do try to move the discussion towards some application. And I think, you know, just try to refute that, fight against that. You know, when we come in contact with people that we might have disagreement with, don't start on your disagreement. Start on what you have in common. And that is going to allow you to have a certain degree of empathy. It might allow you to have a certain degree of connection. you know, we ultimately want people to come to know Christ. We ultimately don't want people to line up perfectly with everything we believe politically. That is not my end goal. My end goal is not for everyone to have the same opinion I have on immigration or Social Security or anything of that sort. Like my end goal is for people to experience the love of God, to experience relationship with the person of Jesus, and to walk in that freedom. That is my end goal. And the only way that that is going to happen is by me building meaningful relationships with people who need Jesus.
Yeah.
And people who need Jesus often will have a lot of things that are quite different than us. Now, sadly, there's a lot of places in the Christian life that we don't distinguish ourselves that much from secular culture when it comes to, you know, divorce rates, and it comes to pornography, and it comes to, you know, all this other stuff. But there's going to be some differing things there. So what do we do? How do we gain that empathy? Do we just like magically walk in and all of a sudden like feel compassion? Well, I would say, no, we don't magically do it, but we have the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be doing what John 15 talks about, that we're abiding in Him. He's abiding in us. And so it's not going to just naturally come. It's got to be a work of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. But the indwelling of the Holy Spirit then prompts us to look at the things that we have in common first. And the first and foremost is we are made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. We are all image bearers. That is number one.
Every person you come in contact
with, God created each and every one of us as image bearers. And so we start with this commonality, then begin to look at some other things. Like, you're a mom, you're a dad, you're a brother, a son, whatever it may be. Like you... And we can even start on some of those silly, or we can move towards some of the silly things. Yeah, mm-hmm. You are a Braves fan.
Right.
You're a Vols fan. Yeah. You know, we can find some commonality here, and let's begin relationship as opposed to, I can't even be in the room with you because of really things that are down the road. I mean, I don't even think that you know, a number of kind of liberal voices or even the farthest right conservative voice, I would think if you really sat down with them and said, tell me what's more important to you, your position as what is more important to you, your position on, you know, this topic, or your identity as a daughter, mm-hmm. like your relationship with your mom and dad, or your love for your niece or nephew or whoever it may be, or your love for your kids or your role as a father. Like start there. Why do we immediately have to start at these things that even in the heart of those folks that would differentiate from us on several things, they would still say their role as a father is more important than their political view. Well, then let's start as fathers and let's begin to go from there.
Yeah, and that's a hard thing in today's culture and society, because we have so many opinions, and we have such a social media has created this thing now where we can easily put those opinions out. And so there's some people that I only know through social media.
Right.
And so if I ran into them in person, I have already in my mind made up who they are.
Yep.
And so it's hard to then shift to, no, they're like a normal person. They're a dad. They're a son. They're a brother. They're, you know, and so we have to make an effort to know that when we are in those conversations, if we believe we're getting the gospel to people, then we have to also believe that every human we come in contact with bears the image of our God, so that if we're in the presence of anybody, then they deserve something from us because we're in the presence of them and who made them.
When we come back, I want us to talk a little bit about this whole dichotomy that's always out there about not stepping into the wrong places or stepping into the wrong things, while also that balance of you'll never lead people to Jesus that you don't know.
Right.
We'll talk more about it when we come back.
So today's conversation, again, Jason, I mean, I think this may be the title single from our Best Of album, this whole show.
I would say it's a top 40 to 50.
About the amount of shows we've had.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It would fall somewhere in all of the shows we've had.
Absolutely.
100%.
If it had
that
to get on a list of shows we've recorded, it would make that list. So I mentioned before the break, you know, kind of that old, like, did you ever have that conversation? You know, I mean, I think in my youthfulness and really kind of growing in my faith, I don't know, for some reason, those things just don't, these conversations I just don't have anymore. Maybe sure. I just feel like I'm consumed by actual, you know, we don't need to debate, fictional scenarios,
right.
Like let's just have to address the real hardships of people's lives.
Yeah.
But did you ever have that discussion with, you know, like, well, you shouldn't be in that bar, or, you know, I mean, I can remember when young my faith, you know, my college student or something, well, you don't need to go to that bar because the X, Y, and Z, but then it was, well, then someone would say, you know, but there's lost people in the bar.
Yeah,
and
they need Jesus.
Yeah, they need Jesus. Did that conversation
ever
come up? Yeah,
and I was a very good legalist. So I would say, I would be the one saying you don't need to be
right,
in the bar.
Right, sure. Yeah, and I was,
you don't
I
need
was,
to be drinking.
I was traditionally there
things.
As well, yeah.
And then, someone would say, well, but I'm going to share they need the gospel. And that, my response would be, but you're not talking about Jesus at the bar. Like, I know
right.
what you're doing.
Right.
And it's not, there's a reason why you're going to the bar outside of the county.
Yeah.
So that folks in this county don't see you in that bar. And if you're having to go out of the county to go to that bar, you're not sharing Jesus.
Clearly a Cornersville conversation. I don't ever remember me growing up and thinking I need to leave the county for certain behavior.
Well,
it feels very Dukes of Hazzard-esque,
very much a Cornersville thing for sure. Yeah.
But here's the point. I mean, again, that conversation is probably a no win all the way around.
Yeah.
You know, but I do think there's probably a question that does exist in the mind of some of our listeners, which is really like, how do I have relationships and birth relationships and start relationships that are with people that might not agree with me on a lot of things? In fact, how do I begin relationships with those that are lost? You know, when we have a society that says don't even come in the same city as one
right.
another, how do we push this gospel forward? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to just be...
Not going to the other county.
First off,
to stay in the county.
Stay in the county is important. It's important that you do that. And then second, I think we have to be at a place where we're just authentic. And
yeah.
so when we're having conversations with people, it should just be... This is who I am now. This is who I am behind the scenes. And so if we're gospel people, those things are going to happen and those conversations will happen and people will just see, look, yeah, I'm a Christian or I'm this or I'm that. And we may disagree, but here's the thing. You are dealing with some of the same struggles I'm dealing with
right.
on a daily basis.
Right.
And so, let's talk about how the things we have in common.
Yeah. When your mom gets diagnosed with cancer,
right.
like, still hard.
Yeah.
You know, and like we can come together on some things here. Yeah. I would just start simply with, you know, we often kind of want to go and try to find relationships when there's really possible relationships all around us. You know, I mean, I doubt that the large majority of our listeners live on like Christian Row where, you know, every
right.
one of their neighbors are all Christ followers and even while some, you know, might kind of say, well, we go to a church here and there or things of that sort. Like there's lostness around you. And so just kind of starting with, hey, God placed me in a community of people. We do life together. We're going to live around one another. Let's begin to invest in each
yeah.
other.
Yeah. It's okay to, and I think out of all that we've said, it is okay to be friendly to someone that disagrees with you.
Correct. It does not mean
that is not a crazy concept.
No, and it does not mean you are selling out from the gospel.
Absolutely not.
In fact, I would say you are embracing the gospel and taking it to others.
Yes. We'll talk next week.